Welcome back in on Fesco and Dusty. It is the roundtable. Special guest Mark Collins here with us, former Chiefs defensive back. 90s Chiefs, the glory days of the defense, as some would say. The Marty years, the tough years, the tough in many degrees, but good times now. Mark, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having
me. This morning, I should say. Yeah. Sorry, I'm ahead of myself.
It's all right. We're getting closer to the afternoon. For us, it's almost afternoon.
I have a question. If you had constantly gotten beat by a quarterback, would you use them as your screensaver on your cell phone?
No. Why would I do that?
That's what they're doing in Cincinnati.
I was going to let it fly. Why would I do some bleep like that?
Oh, yeah. Man, let it fly. I don't give a rip.
Who did that?
This Cincinnati's corner.
Yeah, this is what he said after the practice yesterday. Okay.
I honestly can't wait to see them. I got him as my one of my pitch lock screens right now, so I could see it every day. Both of them, yeah, because I can't wait to see them again. Yeah, like usually I do that whenever we had a big bowl like last year against Ole Miss, they had Penn State teammates like talking on internet, so I screenshotted that post and put it on my lock screen so you don't forget it. Remember what you're doing it for.
So there it is. Rookie defensive back just beat by the Chiefs has Mahomes and Kelsey on his lock screen.
Well,
I got Sydney Sweeney.
Is he a starter?
Probably.
Yeah, who is it? Mac again? What's the guy's name?
It's like Dejon.
Dejon Anthony. He's a rookie safety.
All right. I get where he's coming from. But until you've done something in this league, you don't do that.
You don't do that kind of stuff.
No, you don't. You gotta prove that you belong first. I mean, he made it to the league, which is great. But until you start making plays and do it on a consistent basis, then you can start doing that. Like, you know, Lamar Chase does that. He has credibility to do it.
Right.
This dude hasn't done anything yet. So I get his motivation. I respect it. Just slow down, big fella. Slow down.
Yeah, you got to take it a little easy. So we're 2 weeks in. What are your kind of initial thoughts on this first 2 weeks?
I'm gonna tell you, Bob. It's good. As long as you get the win.
Yep.
I don't care about the rest of the stuff. I don't care how pretty it looks. I'd rather have an ugly win than a pretty loss. And even though the stats are, you know, got the Chiefs down, you know, middle to end of the NFL and offensive statistically, you got the win. And I'll tell you, the way they're winning, this bodes well for, you know, the rest of the season. It's just like last year. Won ugly, lost a couple of ugly games, but they were battle-tested, and that it helped them during the playoff run.
It does. I mean, and that's kind of the way I look at the regular season now for this team is a dress rehearsal for the postseason, right? Like, figure out what's going to work, what you're going to do, what you're going to carry into January, work out kind of, you know, the kinks and all that kind of stuff and go for it. And they will have some sort of ugly loss like they do every year, and everybody will panic, but it's going to be okay because this is kind of the MO that we've kind of gotten used to now here in KC.
And you know, if you think about it, the way as a player, I watch games differently than the average fan, right?
Right.
And you guys may watch different fans the game different than the normal fan. I see this season we break it up in quarters. You know the Chiefs say they go 4-1. It's a great quarter. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. But going a little deeper, they got two AFC wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You know, it's better than two NFC wins, even though you're still 2-0. But you get that AFC win. You got two in your pocket. That comes down to when the playoffs happen, they start doing rankings and seedings based on how many wins you have in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes, you know, common opponent, then NFC. So you got two in your pocket. Kansas City is looking pretty damn good right now with those two AFC wins.
No doubt.
I brought this up, I think it was last week. Trey McDuffie obviously was zero interceptions in his career. I don't look at that as like a flag or anything like that, or like a red flag. And I kind of compared him to like Charles Woodson because they both kind of hit hard. They could kind of like play that position. I know Woodson had a lot of picks, but he got more of them towards the older he got in his career. Do you see similarities there, or am I off my hinges here?
No, you're off a bit.
Okay.
And not by much.
Thank you.
Sometimes the mark of a true cornerback, and I'm telling you because I'm an expert at it. It's not how many interceptions you have. It's how many times you shut down that top receiver.
Yeah.
Because if you could shrink the field width-wise, you could make it three-quarters of the actual width of the field. And that you're taking that side, that third away, a quarter away, a third away. That's awesome. Now that quarterback is dropping back. His main target is taken out. And I've done this many times against Jerry Rice. You know, you take Jerry out of the game and shrink the field and make the 49ers a pretty much a two-dimensional team without the big play, you get a good chance to win it. And that's what Kansas City, that's what McDuffie's doing right now.
Mm.
He's really shutting the guys down, not giving up a lot of big plays, hardly very few. Very few times he's targeted. And he can play the slot as well. So he's pretty damn good. So don't hang your hat on interceptions, because that's really a false sense of stuff.
Right.
Statistics.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, but that's what a lot of people do. I mean, like, we use stats in so many different ways now that drive me nuts. Like, well, McDuffie doesn't have any interceptions, so he can't be any good. I'm like, wait a second here. Ja'Marr Chase had like one catch against him. He's shutting down that side of the field. That tells me they're just not throwing it.
That's
his
right.
Way.
And once you start doing stuff like that, it gives the pass rushers a chance to get a sack, and you're doing your job. Listen, I've been there. Daryl Revis been there, Charles Woodson, Deion Sanders. Once you start doing stuff like that, shutting it down, you know, and I think this way as well. If you got a lot of interceptions, that means they're throwing at you. So
yeah, right.
So it's a two-way.
True.
Yeah, you'd rather have it the other way where they're just not throwing to you. One of the things that the Chiefs have struggled with a little bit this year, I guess, is shutting down the tight end. You know, what do you have to do against somebody like that?
You know, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I just, it's tough because most of these tight ends are bigger than safeties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're you know, 6'3", 6'4", 250. And there are matchup problems. I mean, even if you got a safety who's 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet, he's weighing mostly 205. And the tight ends are mostly more stronger and bigger than the safeties. You can't put a linebacker on them because the linebackers are now, in today's NFL, they're shorter and faster. Maybe 5'11", maybe 6 feet, 215, 225, but not fast enough. So pretty much you're going to try to have to scheme them a lot. Try to drop a defensive tackle underneath or undercut him with a linebacker in coverage. But it's pretty much damn impossible. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It really is. That's why you see the Kittle in San Francisco. Of course, you know, Kelsey's going to get his. These guys are pretty much almost unstoppable for matchups.
There really is nobody you can match up with a tight end right now. It wasn't like, you know, back in your day, there was a Bavaro or maybe a guy here or there, Tony Gonzalez at the kind of the tail end or whatever.
Ozzie
like
Newsome.
Ozzie, they were few and far between. Now it seems like every team has a tight end that presents matchup problems to everybody.
Well, that's the new league. That's what they won. That's what they got. You know, these guys are, even the receivers. I'm going to give you a quick story. I'm in New York. And doing our Giants stuff. And I'm walking into our legacy club. And I see Plaxico Burress. This man is like 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
He's a receiver. So we're talking, and Kerry Collins was there. And he goes, "Oh, we play against you, man." I say, "Kay, throw it deep, throw it high." Yeah, I said, "Okay, yeah. But I'm going to beat you up off the line. If you get off the line of scrimmage, then, you know." But that's how the league is. They have big receivers, big tight ends, matchup problems. It's a passing league.
What's your opinion on Mel Kiper?
I got a story about Mel Kiper, but I'm not going to tell that story. Well,
why not?
Let me play you. You might play it. You might tell us that story if you hear this audio.
Hit the receiver in stride, 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts.
Who?
You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I said what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. They're playing with 9 guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, they come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
The floor is yours.
I think Mel Kiper does not know what he's talking about. and that's been well documented. Was it Jim Irsay who cursed him out on a?
It was somebody from the Colts. I've got that.
It wasn't Irsay. It was their old
GM. He's like,
who is this Kiper idiot?
Yeah.
he means well. God bless him. But
yeah,
no, that's the dumbest thing because you go back in the history of the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
If I think I'm correct when I say this, you go back from like 1960s, 70s, and early part of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't very many 1,000-yard receivers.
No, God, no.
I think that was one. I think Lynn Swann did it one year doing their drive in the late 70s doing Super Bowls. And the reason that was because the bump and run was all over the place. So they changed the rules to allow DBs to have 5 yards. You going to take your shot? Yeah, I get it, take your shot. But the league has changed. It's a whole different level. Mel Kiper means well, but when he's talking bringing up Johnny Unitas and all this stuff, he's full of crap because they didn't throw the ball deep. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust back then, like old Big Ten football.
Right, exactly.
That's what it was. So, he means well, but he don't know what the hell he's talking about.
So what's your Mel Kiper story?
Well, when I came out of Cal State Fullerton, we're Division I. We're pretty good at Fullerton. So the draft stuff comes out, and he puts this paper together. Oh, Mark Collins played well in the PCAA, the Pacific Athletic Association.
Mm.
But he'll find out playing with the big boys, and when he goes to the senior ball, playing against these guys, against the Big Ten, and he gets drafted. This is not the West Coast. He'll get beat like a drum, that kind of stuff. I was going, who in the hell is this guy? So I go to New York. The rest is history. I won't say too much about that. But I've never seen him, never met him.
Does he really exist?
Evidently, he's on TV. So what then, too? You can't believe everything you see.
That's
on TV.
Right. Yeah. Never seen him, never talked to him.
But no, this dude has been making a living.
Oh, yeah.
Talking crap about players and giving his thoughts and comments. And people are buying his BS.
That's right.
Which goes to tell you, people will buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can convince them, they'll buy anything. And I'll leave it there. But anyway, okay. I'm not a big Mel Kiper fan, and
But I think people would buy what you're saying. And how would you stop Kirk Cousins Sunday night?
How would I stop him?
Yeah. Would you blitz him, or would you just blanket receivers?
No, I'll play the confines of the defense. What I would do, I'll play a lot of zone against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make him beat me.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix in a couple of man-to-man coverages. You can mix that up. But that's what I would do. I'll make that team beat me. Methodically drive the ball down the field. I don't think the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo defensively have to do anything tricky to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, and I don't know about what you think, Kirk Cousins is just a guy.
Yeah.
No one's losing sleep. Oh, we're playing Kirk Cousins. Oh, I can't sleep at night. No, dude. Dude, you got to come beat us.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I would do. Now, on the flip side.
Yeah.
We got time.
Oh, yeah, you got time.
What I would do at Kansas City without the Chiefs offense, the first play of the game, I'm throwing the ball deep.
Mm.
If we don't complete it, the second play, I'm throwing the ball deep.
Mm.
The third, same thing. And I'm going to tell you why I do that. You got to take the top off the back end of the defense. Because now you got two running backs to open the running game. You got two new running backs back there.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kareem's back. And what's the Steele?
Carson Steele.
You got to give those guys a chance to run the ball. So what I'm saying is establish the pass. Because as a defensive guy, when you know a team's coming at you deep all the time, it keeps you, on your toes. Hey, mate, wait a minute. I got to play honest. But you're going to try to run the ball systematically, methodically down the field with the Chiefs. I hope they don't do. Everybody start creeping up. And then you try to take your shots too late.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to catch the Falcons off guard by throwing the ball deep as much as possible. Because you put that fear. Fear is a strong word. You put that awareness in the secondary that they're taking shots.
No doubt.
No matter who it is.
Are you concerned about Travis Kelce? I know a lot of the national media seemingly is like, oh, my God, he hasn't had any receptions and he isn't doing anything in the first 2 weeks. I think Travis Kelce has himself a huge game this week.
Oh, we don't need him. They don't need him. There's no need for Travis right now. You know, the Chiefs are still figuring out they're finding out pretty damn well who their receivers are.
Right.
And these guys are stepping up. So if you don't need your main weapon right now, why use them?
Right. I'm kind of with you. Like, save them for the playoffs, almost like a load management type of thing.
He's going to be fine.
You don't even need him without an Isaiah Pacheco?
Once again, I would throw the ball deep. you gotta, I mean, it all plays in. But if you need him, you know Travis would be there.
I would like to know your opinion on what you would like about Spagnuolo's defense. Like, would you love to play for a guy like that?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I play for Belichick. I play for Fritz Schirmer.
Uh-huh.
Some great defensive coordinators. Because Spags, he puts the onus on the players to play.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't micromanage. He doesn't put you in position that you can't do. He allows you to have some input in coverages like a Belichick, like a Fritz Schirmer. And I love that. You talk to those guys, and I talk to some of the guys on defense, they love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like about him.
You played for Belichick, obviously, with LT. What was that like? Did he just let LT do his own thing, or did he try to, like, create plays and scenarios for him?
No, Lawrence, listen, Lawrence was Lawrence, and you can coach Lawrence, but Lawrence played, for the most part, within the confines of the defense, because his job was basically just to rush. You don't change a guy's strength.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, he'll drive back every now and then and get a pick or something like that, but, man, he was a beast. And Belichick, we had some great defenses in New York, and Bill just listened to our input on what we wanted to do. And he was great at winning with us and us with him.
Same with DT here, kind of doing the same type of thing with him, just let him do his thing?
Yeah, you let guys like that go. You let them be them.
Right.
And they make a lot of players around them better, and they're enhanced. Playing with Lawrence and Derek made my job at left corner pretty damn easy.
Oh, yeah.
At left corner is the offensive strong side. They're right. They're right side. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those players are pretty special.
Yeah.
When you were in the league, like, kind of in your prime, and, you know, you're getting to know your matchup, you're going up against a wide receiver, like, you're like, I want that guy. Like, I want to shut that guy down like a Jerry Rice. But, like, is there a receiver in today's game where the game is elevated in wide receiver play, which I think is why we're seeing more cornerback play be looked at better, because the talent of receivers better. You got to find somebody that can stop that. Is there a receiver that you'd want to go up against in today's NFL?
No, I've never been that type of guy. I want that guy. I just shut my mouth to go play. Whoever my assignment was that week, that's who I got.
Who was the toughest you went against?
All of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Because once you make it to that league, they're all good. And you can't really overlook anybody, because that player could get you, could beat you, you know, that player that day. So, no, I mean, I played against Art Monk, Jerry Rice, Chris Carter, Michael Irvin, Irvin Fryer. A lot of great guys, and most of those guys are in the Hall of Fame.
Who talked the most bull junk?
None of them.
Really?
No.
So they didn't do it like they did today?
No, they did, but they didn't against me.
Okay.
And you could take that any way you want.
Well, I'm looking at you. I wouldn't say a bad word to you my entire life. Your hands are huge and veins are out of your biceps.
And I never talked to them. I was so focused on concentrating on my job.
Yeah.
Trying to get them out of their game physically, and I think they were the same. Now, I talked to those guys afterwards, and we talked, but never BS each other. We just talk. I think back in those days, not all players, we all respected each other.
Because
I would never call anybody, oh, you garbage. No, man, dude, you belong here. You're here. So.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of fans forget about. I think there's still a group of fans in this town who are taking what this team is doing for granted. And they expect it every week that they're going to go out there and just shut down the opponent, score 50 points, and make it look easy. It's not easy in this league. Like, a one-point win is a win, and you just take that win and you move on, because it's so hard to win in this league. And I still think some fans just aren't appreciating what the Chiefs are. They're looking for this perfection, and that's just never going to be the thing.
No, that doesn't happen. There is nothing. And one thing, and this just in, the other team gets paid too.
Right. Yeah. You know,
they get a check as well. So it's tough. And there's sometimes you're going to have a good game and a bad game, but what I try to do, what I've seen in teams when I was in New York, even Kansas City, we try to keep the lows not too low and the highs not too high.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to just ride it. Just ride it right down the middle. And then when playoffs come, you elevate it, you elevate and play well. Because I've seen some teams when they hit rock bottom, 0-2 start. Watch Cincinnati and watch Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start watching how they react. That's what you watch for. Teams that are 0-2, 0-3. The teams that are 2-0, they're going to be methodical in what they do in their approach. And you watch the Chiefs, how they win. It's ugly, but it's a win. And watch how they just ride the wave and then see how they elevate during the season.
You know, this weekend when the Chiefs win, Andy Reid will have 130th win as a Chiefs head coach in 11 years, roughly. He had that many wins in his entire career in Philadelphia. You played for Belichick. You've gotten to see Andy Reid and know Andy Reid here. Who's the better coach?
I played. I was when Andy was with the Packers, I was on the Packers. He was a quarterback coach, I do believe. And I never played for Andy. And as far as statistics, that's for you guys to decide. Play for Belichick. And I work with him, and I've seen him do stuff and create and make adjustments at halftime that I've never seen before. I don't know. My guy's Belichick.
Yeah.
Because I played for him.
So mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying Andy's no worse.
Right.
He's up there.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. You want to give a score prediction for Sunday night?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not that kind of prognosticator. I know the Chiefs would do enough to win. How's that?
I like that. Mark Collins here on the round table, which is brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. We get back. We get into tailgate talk. Mark, thanks for your time here in the studio today. We appreciate that.
Guys, thanks for having me.